This is Dr. William R. Glaze, Senior Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. As the founder and CEO of Anchored in Jesus radio broadcast, I'm grateful that you are listening to us. As a thank you for tuning into our program, we invite you to go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and subscribe to our weekly devotional. Everyone who subscribes will receive their choice of either an Anchored in Jesus coffee mug or Anchored in Jesus t-shirt. The promotion will run now through Friday, November 24th. At the end of the promotion, we will have a drawing and randomly two names. Each of these two individuals will receive a basket of Anchored in Jesus merchandise, including one of my books entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Also, we'd love to hear your thoughts about our program. Please go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org, and leave a comment. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy.
That my pastor had bought, his wife hit an ice patch, the vehicle turned over and was total. And I remember talking to my pastor after that. And I said, see, now here, Bill Glaze, young Christian in the Lord, right? He got a worldly mindset. And I remember saying to my pastor, oh, pastor, man, I said, you just bought that vehicle. You know, isn't it something, man, you know, that you know, you just bought it. Now it's all wrecked up. I'll never forget what he said. He said, Bill, I'm glad that God would rather have me have a wrecked vehicle than a wrecked wife. I said, hey, I mean, that just floored me. And what did he realize? He realized that what he had belonged to God. And that God gives and God allows it to be taken away. And the fact is that he realized that he was just a manager of that vehicle that God had given him. He was just so grateful that the Lord did not allow his wife to be injured. And you know, that's, and I thought to myself, you know, that's the mindset of somebody who is a manager and not an owner. Because many people would have got upset. You know, oh man, I can't believe that my vehicle was wrecked. I just bought the thing. It's just gone off like that. And I think that sometimes when we look at things from that standpoint, that might show where our heart is at. Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is at. And so if our heart is wrapped up into material things, when material things are damaged, does great damage to our souls because we are so invested in that. I spoke a couple of weeks ago for a group, and they gave me a real nice honorarium. I mean, it was real nice. And the Lord spoke to me and said that, you know, don't take it, give it back. Talking with me. And I went and I gave it back to him. Then I started having all kind of problems, you know, things breaking down, vehicles need to be inspected. And I began to think, I said, man, I really should have took that. I really should have took that. You know, I could use it right now. And the Lord came back and just said to me, he said that, I got you, man. He said, I got you. And it wasn't shortly after that I did a couple things and got back more than what that offering, what they gave me. And so you realize that. I mean, I could have looked at it and said, well, you know, I got this to do, I got that due, and you know, I got to make sure I can pay this and pay that. But the Lord said, give it back. You're not an owner. You're a manager. And as we take that attitude, God is going to take care of us. He's going to make sure that we have what we need. And so the first thing that we have to understand is that faithful stewards realize they are managers and not owners. Oh, this one right here. Faithful stewards have to realize or view money as a servant and not as a master. That you have to, if you are a faithful steward, that you have to view money as a servant and not as a master. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let me tell you what happens when people serve money. See, I need to realize that the money that I have in my hand, it's either going to be my servant or it's going to be my master. That the money that I have in my hand, it's either going to do what God is telling me to do with it, and it's going to serve me, or I'm going to bow down to it, and it's going to be my master. Those great theologians, the OJs, they said for the love of money, people will steal from their mother. Why? Because money is their master. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. Why? Because money is their master. For the love of money, people can't even walk the streets because they never know who in the world they're going to meet. For that mean, oh, that mean green. For the love of money, people will lie, rob, and cheat. For the love of money, people don't care who they hurt or beat. For the love of money, a woman will sell her precious body for a small piece of paper. It carries a lot of weight. Oh yeah, that mean green. Who were the OJs singing about in this song? They were singing about people who let money be their master and not their servant. Faithful stewards of God realize that money makes a great servant, but it makes a terrible master. Just think about it in your own life sometimes. When you've used money to serve, maybe you've used your money to bless somebody else. You've used your money to go on a missions trip. You've used your money to give to a need, to give to a project. And at that point, money was operating as your servant. But then, maybe there were times where you were driven because there was something that you wanted. And you wanted to get money no matter how it took, whatever it took to get it, that you were willing to do that. Why? Because you wanted money to be able to get what you wanted. At that point, money became your master and not your servant. But if you're going to operate in God's economy, that you have to realize that you got to view money as a servant and not as a master. Faithful stewards handle their resources with wisdom. Faithful stewards, if you're going to be a steward and you're going to operate, see, let me do something. I said I wasn't going to do this, but let me go back. AJ, I know I'm throwing you off. I know I'm throwing you off, but If you go back to last week's message, where I talked about the provisions in God's economy, Look at this. The provisions in God's economy. God says that, now notice this, that it says in Genesis 41, 56 through 57, that all the nations of the world came to Egypt. They all came to Joseph. All the country. If God can take care of all the countries of the world during a famine, truly whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're going through, God can take care of it. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What did he just get finished talking about? Food, clothing, and shelter. Go back and read Matthew 6. Food, clothing, and shelter. He said if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will take care of all those things in your life. Why? Because you are operating on God's economy. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we quote that verse often, but the thing that we fail to realize is that he had just got finished talking about before that, given the missions. God has blessed Bethany Baptist Church. We give over 10% of our budget when you count the radio ministry and all the missionaries that we support. We give over 10%. Probably, I don't want to quote a figure, but I know it's much higher than that. But we give over 10% to missions. I've been here 32 years, and there's been some years that we've struggled. But every year when we close, the books at Bethany Baptist Church, we either come out even or ahead. See, when you operate on God's economy and you do what God would have you to do, he's going to provide what you need. I shared last week how that in this building project, our goal when we started out was to raise $1.3 million. Now, due to inflation and time, we had to raise more. But during that time, we raised over $1.3 million. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We raised most of the money to build this new sanctuary. And people are still giving as we had to extend and get some help. They're still giving as we continue to pay off what we had to get. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Man, I'm telling you, saints, all you have to do is get on God's program, God's system. He'll take care of you. And David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not into this blab it and grab it, right? Speak it into existence. I'm not into all that. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. God says if you line up on my system, I said it, where he guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. God will take care of you when you line up on his system. And so that brings me to this slide here, and that is, faithful stewards handle their resources with wisdom. They spend wisely. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, no matter whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if I handle my finances to the glory of God, then I'm on his system. If I invest or save wisely, I'm lining up with God's system. Proverbs 21 in verse 5, it says this in the NIV. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, No, I didn't say that. That's what Proverbs said. The plans of the diligent, those who invest, those who save, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. That God will take care of you. And then, give wisely. Give wisely. There was a man, they thought him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. See, sometimes God can get it to us if he can get it through us. Right? I'm going to tell you what. In the kingdom of God, there's more power in the open hand than the clenched fist. There's more power in the open hand than there is in the clenched fist. And so if we're going to be a faithful steward, that we have to handle our resources with wisdom. And that leads me to my last point. Faithful stewards exercise the four P's of giving. First of all, the priority of giving. Honor the Lord with the first fruits. Now again, this is an Old Testament concept where the farmer would go out and look for the best. What was the best in the field? And take that which was best and offer it to God. Now, you know what that ensured? When the farmer took that which was best, that ensured God's blessing on the rest of it. Now, if you want to shortchange your blessing, then shortchange God, right? This is a powerful principle. So again, I said last week, I preach a message on giving one time a year, right? So I got the saint that comes and tells, man, Pastor, every time I come to church, you preaching on giving. Right? You just told on yourself, right? You just told on yourself. You've got to make the Lord the priority. You know, I remember when I was in college that we read this ode, and it was the Ode of the Ancient Mariner. And I don't know if you remember that, but in the Ode of the Ancient Mariner, there was an albatross. And this albatross was following these sailors on this boat. Everywhere that they went, this albatross would be there. And one of the sailors got tired of the albatross following him. And so I can't remember if he took an arrow or how, but he killed the albatross. And when he killed the albatross, that's when all kind of misfortune began to follow the sailors. And they didn't realize, or he didn't realize, that the albatross was a sign of the blessing. And he pretty much cut off his own blessing. And I think it's the same with God. When we fail to make God a priority, that we are cutting off our own blessing. When we are making sure that, now again, we got to be wise, right? So I'm not going to say that to be foolish in the way that you give. I'm just saying you got to figure out what does it mean to honor God. Now, the Bible gives you a good example. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Give the Lord your best. That's very clear, the priority of giving. The second thing is the pleasure of giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loves a cheerful giver. See, I believe if you give and it's, I believe God, go on and keep your money. Let's go on and keep it. I don't need it. Because your heart is not right. But when you give, it's just like when I gave that check back, right? I gave it back. Man, I was excited. Until Satan came and started speaking to my heart. Right? All the joy went out of that. All the joy went out of that. And I had to say, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. God loves. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9:7, you know what the word is there? Hilarious. hilarious giver. Some people say, don't give until it hurts. Just keep on giving until it feels good. Give it till you just out of your mouth. Man, I must be crazy, man. I must be crazy giving this to God. Right? And then eventually, you know, you start feeling good. You say, come on, Pastor, you trying to pull the wool over my eyes there. But the pleasure of giving, the place of giving. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy about Malachi 3:10, but, you know, it says the storehouse. And so there's different concept of the storehouse. But this is what I'm going to say. I believe the place where you are fed, where you are fellowshipping, where you are being instructed, where you are being able to serve, I believe that's the storehouse. And so it ought to go there. Now, you know, I give to several ministries outside of Bethany. But my primary place that I give is Bethany Baptist Church. And so, you know, again, I'm not saying that because I'm trying to build up Bethany's coffers. I'm just saying that I believe that that's the biblical model. Now, here comes the one. Here comes the one, and that is the percentage. The percentage of our giving. You know, I'm just going to say this. It says, as God has prospered you. So what that tells me is that if God has prospered you a little, then you give according to that. If God has prospered you a lot, then you give according to that. As God has prospered you. Now, I know there's a lot of people that talk about, you know, giving a tithe. Now, this is my philosophy. You know, I think that as you look at the people in the Old Testament, God required of them a tithe. And they were under law, right? How much more should our hearts be willing to give under grace? That God has given us his son, Jesus Christ. He has lavished his son upon us. How much more should we be willing to give? See, somebody said, should I give off of the net or the gross? Well, do you want a net blessing or a gross blessing? It boils down to that. See, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you on God's economy. You know, my brother, you know, he talked about what me and my family have been through. And I'm not talking about since I've been in Bethany. I'm talking about before I got to Bethany. I had to take a job throwing newspapers when I was in seminary just to keep food on the table. I can remember my wife and I and Nicole, we had a wagon, and I didn't even have a car. Didn't even have a car. And we had to walk about a mile and a half. We had $3. And I was so glad when Nicole got out of Pampers, right? Because that means that I could take some of that money and spend it for food, right? But we had $3. And I remember back then you could buy some Pampers. And I remember we bought a box of macaroni and cheese, and we bought a pack of hot dogs and went back home and ate. And God saw us through. He saw us through every step of the way. It might not always be big time. It might not always be that God will provide a three-meal dinner for you. But he will provide what you need. He will get you through. If we operate in his economy, he will take care of us.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Stress-Free Economy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Believer is a Steward in God's Economy. Jesus.org and River is a Steward in God's Economy. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, God's Economy, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.